Wiggly World 112, evidently.
It's never straight up and down.
It's never straight up and down. It's never straight up and down.
Wiggly World. Hi, everybody. I have to cut the grass. But I sat down here to do this with you now because I have a lot on my mind and just did another marathon 2 days of editing in a sweat seat that is called the We Talk Games. We Talk Games 7 came out. And not to shatter the illusion, it doesn't take 3 hours to record and then I just upload it. This is a process that takes the better part of 3 weeks, actually, I think, you know, depending on scheduling and stuff like that. But, of course, I try to make it come off as a full show. And definitely there are segments that go on and on and on and on and on, all in one setting. As a matter of fact, this past episode, in order to get it down under 3 hours and 30 minutes, I did have to make some edits. And there's parts I want to talk about. In fact, I figured, you know what, for Tech Talk today, I'm going to bring Stinky and TT into Tech Talk, and, holy mackerel, everyone, this is a miracle! I'm looking out my window, and, I just saw a flash of light. And, it's the Lord, everyone! There's children running up to him, and I'll try to describe what I see. And, I gotta get out there. I gotta get out there. Hold on. Let's see if we can catch up to him. Yeah, that's running. Jesus! 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 Wait, I believe he's going to speak.
Eat my flesh. Drink my blood.
Jesus, you sound a lot like me. Jesus, hey, we spare no expense in the production of a Wiggly World podcast and our historical recreations. But seriously, do eat his flesh and drink his blood. That's great. That'd be good for you. Puts a shine on your coat. Now, where was I? I'll also try to root through the emails, because I know I have stacks of emails that are just scattered. They're strewn around the Trapdoor Chicken Coop and Bar Recreation Center karaoke machine. And so I have to try to find those then. And oh my, what the... You won't believe it, ladies and gentlemen. This is... There's protesters outside of the Trapdoor Chicken Coop. Let me get wrapped. Let me go. What? Okay, here they are. I believe the protesters are about to speak. Let's listen in on them.
How dare you allow me to stay with my current healthcare provider? Damn you!
I demand that I be denied coverage due to a pre-existing condition.
Why should everyone have health care? I'm not special anymore!
That's another one.
I don't understand anything! I hate it!
So, I don't know if anyone else is losing their mind like I am. Seriously, if it wasn't for We Talk Games consuming the majority of my life, I seriously think I'd be out of my mind with what I hear on the televisions. It's as if all the insane people have stopped trying to convince people that the Earth was made in 6 days and then God took a snooze on the seventh, and just picked up picket signs and I don't know what else. It's insanity. Believe me, I'm not saying anyone's plan is right, but I voted because I thought, you know what, it might be nice for some health care down the road. I've been without it for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, and no, Maverick, not because I don't want health care, and I'm denying health care like all the other 20-year-olds. Hey, look at me, I'm 43, I'm just like the 20-year-olds that demand that they do not want health care. We don't even want it, no, why? Hey, look, I want to fall down the stairs and then go into the hospital and then be paying hospital bills for the rest of my life and never, ever, you know, be incredibly in debt to the hospital for one visit. I don't know if you've been to the hospital, but it's, you know, if you have to stay overnight, that's several thousand dollars. If you have to stay for a week, you know, you're talking $15,000 depending on what happens. You're talking a car. It's, and then that's a nice car, I think. I don't know. I don't know how much cars are anymore. I pay $500 for a car. But, you know, that's an entry-level car, I guess. 15 grand, that's a pretty nice car, I think. I think that's like a PT Cruiser or something like that. So, you know, the arguments that I'm hearing are, I don't know if they're called healthcare creationist, because some of these arguments are just so insane. Now, I know every plan's not right, but Jesus Christ, we need some sort of change. Let's take a chance on this. Yeah, it might not be perfect, but what do we have now? If someone says that you don't have to leave your current policy, this isn't going to concern you, I don't know what any problem is. Who's going to pay for it? Well, of course, who's going to pay for it? We're all going to pay for it. What are we paying for now? What are we paying for now in this government? There's a health spa down the road. I've never used it. I know that that is sponsored by my community. I didn't vote for it, but I did in a trickle-down effect in that someone voted for the person that's my mayor. I sure didn't vote for that person, but I mean, you know, people, there's governmental spending. And I listened to, well, first I played Rock Band, and then I caught Obama's speech about healthcare reform, which was the main, he was addressing many things, but one of the major topics was healthcare reform. And I, of course, I heard him talk, you know, there's a big hoopla about the liar business and all that other crap, and all these, this is how bad news has gotten. Oh, someone yelled something today! At a music award. Can you believe it? Rappers and rock stars and people, the elite people actually acting inappropriately. Wow. And breaking news, everyone. Stop the presses. Front page material here, no doubt. But then, after this amazing speech, you know, you want to talk about a moving speech just on its own. I don't care what he said. He could be saying lie, 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 lie. It doesn't matter. It was a very impassioned speech. I bought most of it. And, you know, it's amazing to actually be able to sit down and listen to something. What did it go on for, like an hour and a half? But it's amazing to be able to have a president that you can actually listen to. And it's not just like, you know, just gibberish coming out one after another with a couple of keywords that he practiced ad nauseum in the toilet before the camera started rolling. It's, you know, it's sort of like a relief, you know, to actually be able to listen to your president, whether you agree with him or not. You can actually understand him and not just bow your head in shame and you know, cry and be embarrassed by this person. But then right after, immediately following, we get a surgeon, you know, one of the representatives that was out there to say, our plan is better, his plan stinks. And I cannot remember anything like this ever occurring ever in my history on Earth, in the United States politics, where something, where time was purchased like this to immediately refute something. Like, there wasn't even a commercial break. Here comes this guy. He's a surgeon. He's going to tell you and me, Joe Public, that has, you know, a huge portion of people that do have health care. I know that you pay a lot per month, per week, in your weekly check. You see that taken out of your check. Here comes a surgeon that's going to tell you about, oh, you know, hey, listen to me. I'm with you. You know, surgeon. Okay, do you know how much a surgeon makes? I don't know if you do. But it's a lot more than your general practitioner. It's a lot more than a dental hygienist. It's significantly larger than someone that works at Walmart and sees a big chunk of their income go towards healthcare. Now, you may say that, no, my company pays 100% of my healthcare. Well, guess what? That means that you're not getting the raises in the pay base that you probably should be getting, because, you know, someone's paying for that. They have to pay for that. I don't want to dwell on this too long. I don't really know about healthcare. I'm not a healthcare expert because, to be honest with you, I can't remember what it was like to have healthcare. And I know a lot of you have written in telling me that you're in the same boat. And Jesus, poor Jade, who's special to the show and all the shows. You know, he wants to get his arm amputated, his hand amputated, because he can't take the pain anymore, and no one, it's not even that the health care won't pay for it, he can't get that, and doctors won't even see him anymore. Something's got to give, people in this direction. When you're just passing on something that you read in a pamphlet from the, you know, some lunatic sent you, it's you're not really catching the whole story from the people that are affected by this. Just one more thing before I bring Stinky and TT, tell them to come in here. They're in the green room now, getting ready, drinking apple juice, hot apple cider. It's very, very delicious. I have to cut the grass, by the way. Chiz and I just watched the National Geographic Genographic Project show. I don't know what it was, a show called. I don't know what it's called, but if you don't know about this, go to nationalgeographic.com and try to click on Genographic Project. For $100, you can get this scrape kit and an instructional thing or whatever, and you scrape the inside of your mouth, your cheek area, and you do this once, and then 12 hours later, something like that, 8 to 12 hours later. And then you take the scraping, you put it in this little thing, and you mail it back to the Genographic Project. You have to add your own stamp to the envelope that it comes with. And then they tell you, they send you, I guess, a map, or they tell you something's going to happen. I don't know what exactly is going to happen, but what it does is it traces your mitochondrial DNA, or if you're a man, you can also trace your ancestry through your Y chromosome. And then it will show you the migration path that your ancestors took from Africa to where, well, it might not trace you to where you are today, but it will show the patterns of where they went and then where they ended up. Now, I guess that the healthcare and marching band t-shirts have most of the loonies too busy to recognize that the National Geographic Genographic Project might be threatening their ability to spout racial slurs any longer. Now, we've all heard of Out of Africa and things like this. This has been around for quite some time, when paleontologists realized that, you know, this was the birth cradle, that all people came out of Africa. But this is really showing the lines of your ancestry, the migratory patterns of how we came out of Africa. And I would love to do this myself. I think this is a great holiday present for your parents, even. Well, like, if you get one for yourself and you're a dude, then you can trace your father's side. and then you can buy this gift for your mom. It works out perfect for me. And then that would trace my maternal side, or you could buy it for both your parents if you happen to have that happening. And then they can trace their lineage as well. And you reap the benefits because you only had two parents usually. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I can't believe this. There's a racist outside my house here. A good old boy. Let's go out. Let's go see what he's... This is a radio show. I found the cure for polio. Whoops, I'm sorry. I was caught in the wrong radio program. I believe the racist is about to speak.
Hey, y'all. Why don't you all go back to where I came from?
Yeah, this is going to really put the sad face emoticon that you type on a lot of racist e-newsletters. So that happened, and Chiz is incredibly excited about doing that. I sent it out yesterday, and I'll let you know how the results turned out, see if she's positive or negative. Speaking of that, it's about a month away from when we're getting hitched, so that's all going to be happening. I have, as you can imagine, tons of things to prepare before I take a two-week vacation. A two-week vacation is unprecedented. Now, it will not be a full 2 weeks. I'll still do all my normal Monday tasks the day before I leave, but then the following Monday, I will have to do them remotely. Of course, I'm not going to be editing down on my honeymoon, but I will push out product on that Monday, which won't be too big of a deal. But I just have not had a vacation, anything resembling this, for I don't remember, I guess maybe my last honeymoon, last time I had a honeymoon. I mean, I hope that I can have a vacation. This is going to be amazing. This is going to be great. Wow. All right, let's have a quick tech talk. I'm just going to talk a little bit about a new iPods that were released. I'll talk about bring Stinky and TT in here. We'll get our talk on, and I might mention about the price drop in the PS3. And of course, it will only take a few minutes. And while I talk about this, I'll also be looking for your email so I could get caught up on that. Tech talk. Nobody cares about tech talk. Poop, poopy doo. TT, did you see that your papa was back doing the keynotes there?
Steve Jobs. Victoria. High quality. I missed him so.
Yeah, it was great to see him back on stage. But you know, they sort of danced around it a little bit. He put up a keynote slide there that said about the new OpenGL, and it went pretty quick. They don't really mention it. And I know that this actually started when the iPhone 3GS came out.
Yeah.
But since the release of the different versions of iPods, the new lower-priced $200 8-gig, which is still kind of a lot for only 8-gig, but it is flash memory and it's a touchscreen and everything else that goes along with an iPod. But when the 32-gig and the 64-gig were announced, Steve sort of touched on the fact that this can now support OpenGL ES 2.0. Now, if you go to the Apple Store and you try to compare different iPods, it really doesn't mention anything about the GPU or the CPU or any increases or differences between the two iPod models.
Yeah.
But yet there has to be something in there. This can run almost 50% faster than the original iPod Touch. Now, you might say, so what? Hey, that's okay. It's, you know, they're a computer company. They keep coming out with revisions every few months. Whammo. But they're trying to push the iPod Touch and the iPhone as a legitimate gaming handheld device.
Well, Phil Schiller thinks it's the Game Boy killer, much more so than Nowataru Super Vision.
Oh, yeah. He's proud as a peacock. He's showing how many thousands of billions of times more games they have for the iPod Touch than they do for the Nintendo DS or the Sony PSP. And let's, for a second, suspend our experiences of playing the iPhone iPod Touch games compared to playing games on the Nintendo DS or the Sony PSP and say, oh, okay, yes, this is a legitimate gaming console. Could you imagine if out of nowhere Sony or Nintendo just said, oh, here's the Nintendo DS 3, here's the Sony PSP 5, just out of nowhere, no planning, no foreknowledge, no even idea that people were working on. And this is essentially what Jobs announced. This is like the iPod Touch 2. Or if you want to get really technical about it, I guess it's 3 or what have you. But, I mean, this is really a significant improvement in what this handheld is capable of playing. And there's just no other gaming company out there that would so screw over their user base. I mean, this is quite commonplace in computers. I mean, you just, you know, release a new iteration of your computer every so many months. But it's no wonder that they're sort of downplaying this and saying, oh, you know, nothing really is happening here. Nothing's going on. No difference. No difference. You don't understand anything, which is quite evident if you go to, like I said, the Apple store and take a look. It just says, oh, it's got a larger hard drive and it comes with headphones, things like this. You know, nothing else. Everything's the same. But it's just a tad worrisome. So let's hope that all goes well for them and for this, for their ventures.
Maybe we should compare all the iPod games we review to games on the PSP or DS.
Well, that's the thing, TT. I don't think Apple wants to step into there because, unfortunately, I think the largest thousands of games that they mention there would fall into the category of a 1 star out of 5 or a 2 stars out of 5. You have to compare iPod games to iPod games. It's an entirely different gaming experience.
Is it because it is such a revolutionary device?
Well, there's not one thing about the iPod that makes it unique. All the technologies on the iPod have existed for over a decade. I mean, the touch screen, playing compressed music, playing compressed video, motion sensors, color screen, handheld gaming, these have all existed for well over a decade. There's no single technology that makes the iPod revolutionary. It's the fact that they're all together in one system, and it's one unique system, and it's the presentation of these technologies that makes it a revolutionary gaming system. It in no way delivers the same gaming experience as a Nintendo DS or a PSP. It delivers a different gaming experience.
With all that, I think I'm going to get myself one of those there Zune HDs.
Are you stinky?
Yeah, the heck I am.
Yeah, I don't even think Bill Gates has a Zune. And not to delay the show any longer, but this is huge news. A lot of buzz on the We Talk Games bulletin boards. Just go to WeTalkGames.com, click on bulletin boards, and become a part of that growing and loving community. Right after our last show wrapped, the PS3 dropped $100 in price. And immediately I thought, this is huge, because there is still a gigantic user base out there of video game enthusiasts that are still only on the PS2. And they love their PS2, and that's all they have. This price drop, I think, is really going to stimulate that audience out there that hasn't been sold on a Wii or an Xbox, or maybe they have. But they're still holding on tight, hugging their PS2s. And indeed, it looks like that was reflected in the sales. The PS3 hardware in North America up 300% in the first week of September. Amazing. As well as Europe jumped to 1,000% increase in system sales. And Japan, 7,350% jump in PS3 sales. So that's great news for Sony, but even better news for me, because now I might actually be able to compare my scores to other people on the PS3. So I'm a little bit happy about that. All right, thanks, TT and Stinky. Really appreciate it. You can catch TT and Stinky every month on the We Talk Games podcast. WeTalkGames.com. Our name is our address. Yes, you know... yeah. I hope you realize, like, I'm on vapors, I'm on fumes, I am past the point of exhaustion. It has been... Jeez, take it easy! It's been a rough couple of weeks, no doubt about it. How many times have I gotten on here and said that? Yikes! If I had a penny, I'd have about a dollar by now. Lots of other great things happening. Go to WeTalkGames.com, the Pro Gear store. We added 2 new shirts in there. Believe me, if you want to help out and support and do things like that, the We Talk Games Pro Gear store is the place to do it. I can give back to you. You could give back to me. Free special prizes with each purchase. Just little things like stickers and funny things. And I promise that if you like, I will touch each t-shirt in person with my naked tootsies. I will touch, like, on the lapel or the bottom of the shirt with my big toe tootsie, nude, completely nude. I will touch, and I am free of any type of jungle rot or athlete's foot or anything like that. So no worries there. I'm clean, everyone. I'm clean. I will do that. We Talk Games is a very, very fun show. And Stinky and TT are, they got a lot of pushback. They got a lot of pushback when Volume 2 dropped. And as soon as I heard that pushback, I realized I must now make our special guests that have been involved with the video game industry since its inception. I must make Tommy Tallarico talk to TT. I must make TT and Stinky a big, big part of this show. And they're not a big, big part of the show, but they are a little part of the show. And if there's anything that I hope, that if I would describe myself, like, what do you do? If I had a job, if I could put a job label on myself, I would hope that I'm an entertainer. I can't speak today, but I'm an entertainer, I hope. And I like to bring entertainment to the projects I'm involved with. I mean, I really had no desire to talk about wrestling, but I did enjoy to talk about wrestling, so I agreed to do it with my buddy, and we were breaking into podcasts, which were pretty new at the time, and Apple had just announced that they were going to feature podcasts in their iTunes music store. So what a great ground level to get in on. I thought this is going to be huge. And so I said, yeah, sure, I'll, you know, take an hour or two a week and sit around and talk about it. And then here I am. But I tried to, even from the beginning, I tried to do little things to move the show along, even though the initial shows sucked balls. I did, you know, try to spice them up a little bit. And as the show went on, I tried to bring more and more entertainment into it. And of course, this gets immediate resistance from some people. Like, oh, I want to hear about how this person acted like a jerk backstage because I get off on that. But then other people really got in. And I think the culmination of that was doing a whole rock opera of our reviews read as a rock opera. So we had a go through our reviews of the shows and put rhymes into them. Not to mention all the song, the music that had to be composed for it as well. But, you know, that's what I think I bring. I hope I bring a little bit of entertainment. Now, a Wiggly World show is just supposed to be me relaxing, take it easy, chill out, and not have to put a lot of production into this. But, you know, I don't even know why I do this show. Some people write in, they say that they're glad I did. But I've talked about this before. I do it for myself. I do it for other people. Well, mostly. What's my sandals? Speaking of We Talk Games, the whole banner just fell. But I am very, very happy with the progression and the evolution of We Talk Games. I had no idea it would ever become this type of show. And I really, really love it. It's really amazing. And I don't mean this as a left-handed anything. I don't mean this as a slap. But Kyle Von Kubik, in this latest show, Walter Day says that Kyle Von Kubik is my producer. And although that might not be an accurate job title, he is heavily involved in how this show comes out. He secures the large majority of our guests. In fact, I can't think of any guests, special guests, that were from the video game industry that have been on a show that he did not secure. And I don't mean to slight Kishka Honeypot in any way. She's a great PR representative from the head office. But really, Kyle is responsible for making this happen. He likes to joke about it that, you know, he just contacts some people, does this and that, and he says, here, go, you know. Good luck. I can't tell you how many emails ended with good luck after he told me about someone that wanted to be on a show. So he is invaluable, and I don't think I would have gone for this latest adventure we went on, I bought a table at a video game convention, and we had a table, an 8-foot table with all of our merch on it. Talking about merch, t-shirts, that was his idea. Why don't we sell We Talk Games t-shirts, real ones, you know, screen printed ones. So we made that happen. Now we have 3 designs. And so a lot of this is really in part thanks to Kyle. He really puts a lot of effort. I've not been involved with a project where someone puts this much effort. Now, Chikara, that's a different story. That's someone else's whole idea. I come in, I am really alone in the parts that I do for Chikara Podcast A Go-Go. If you don't know, this is my weekly video podcast, and sometimes 2 videos a week of the pro wrestling organization Chikara. Chikara is someone else's whole idea. They bring me the clips, they bring me all that, the good stuff. But pretty much when it comes to the go-go side of it, I'm on my own. Yeah, you know, Quack feeds me what parts he wants to be shown, you know, do this minute to that minute, because I required that of him. I simply would not be able to produce that show if I did not have at least that to go off what parts of the matches to rip from. I simply would not have the time to do this. So he is the auteur. That's a perfect word for him. He comes up with what's going to be shown on each thing, what websites we should promote so we don't say the same ones every single time, although, you know, it is definitely a rotation. And then pretty much it's all me. You know, I film it, I go back, I edit it, I do the sounds, I do the lower thirds, I do the transitions, I do all this other business that I'm credited for in the end, which I hope no one feels is too excessive. But I just want people to realize that it's not like, you know, I hook a webcam up and I hit record and all of a sudden the go-go is up on YouTube. You know, there's a lot that goes into it. But with We Talk Games, this was my own project. This was my own idea. This is something that I had a passion for, I loved to do. And I knew that Volume 2 was going to have to be significantly different. When I released the first episode, people really crapped on it. Even people that I like and I respect their opinion. And I listened to the first episode, I don't mind at all. Now, I know it's all me. Yeah, it's completely different. Well, guess what? things change. Things change, everybody. But I knew where I wanted to go with it. I knew I wanted it to be about other people talking about him, me having a conversation with him. And it's progressed, and now we have these special guests, people that I never thought I'd be talking to. It's fantastic to talk to them. And we really do have, you know, 2 other people here, Stinky and TT. I feel them. This is a mythos. This is the We Talk Games mythology. I love it, and I'm in love with it. So good for us. Check it out, please, and support if you can. And I try to make everything I do entertaining. Top 5 healthcare reform lies and how to fight back. Number 1, President Obama wants to euthanize your grandma. The truth, these accusations of death panels and forced euthanasia are, of course, flatly untrue, as an article from the Associated Press puts it. No death panel in healthcare bill. What's the real deal? Reform legislation includes a provision supported by the AARP to offer senior citizens access to a professional medical counselor who will provide them with information on preparing a living will and other issues facing older Americans. And here's all the, there's 5 of them here. Obama's healthcare plan will bankrupt America. You read about that. That is a lie. Obama is secretly plotting to cut senior citizens' Medicare benefits. Obama wants to implement Soviet. So, and here's the socialism, the communism thing. Jade found a great photo online about other things being called socialism and communists. And it said, right on there, it says, race mixing is communist, and it's right from a big giant protest on the front steps of the White House. All these old white guys, these angry old grumpy old white men that probably have some sort of micro penis thing happening. They're angry about something. Who knows? Their wives are not. They're closeted as well. But I won't go on to that. If you want to find out about this, go to Top 5 Lies. I don't know where this is. MoveOn.org. Find out about that. Hi, Wiggly. Let's get in your emails. I have to go cut the lawn, in case you hadn't heard. There's a big rumor going around. I have to cut the lawn, and I definitely do because it's long. So I like to yell sometimes. Currently enjoying previous Wiggly World shows and the boards. More to the point, the Archbishop of Canterbury, one of my favorite men to impersonate because, number one, I never met him. Number two, I don't really know who he is. But number three, that's the coolest name ever. Archbishop of Canterbury. You can't make up something like that. T.T. Schmutkins thought, it says here, more to the point, Archbishop of Canterbury was explaining how being a young Christian is seen as being odd within schools in the UK. I've recently left school to go to college, and it struck me throughout my life, throughout my 5 years of secondary school, which is high school, I only met two people who were happy to say they were Christian. Sittingbourne isn't a well-known town in England, so there isn't a lot of Eastern Europeans, Indians, or other immigrants. Sadly, as prejudice as it sounds, when an immigrant entered my school, they usually had major trouble creating friends. Similarly, Christians at my school had the same problem. People thought that wearing a cross around your neck was just weird. Was just as weird as wearing a spot on your forehead. The UK isn't a very religious country. However, the US seems to be. The two cultures are similar. Why is there a gap when religion is concerned? Well, I would have to think. Now, of course, this is just completely out of my butt. But I would have to say that this is because England was a monarchy. You were ruled by a king. The king was chosen by God. It was his birthright. God said this person could decide the fate of everyone in his kingdom. So that's probably bad. So that's probably why it got rebelled against and isn't taken as seriously as in the United States. The United States is just fucking nuts. Oops. Two-year-old filter. Sorry about that. A 4-year-old. I'm sorry. Should I add it? I don't know. Hopefully I said it and nothing was understood. Because don't the Ukers, I like to call them Ukers, don't Ukers say bloody anyway? Because I think the F word in the UK is just like, a little cutesy term that just gets dropped for in standard conversation. But the United States as well is big into mythology. We love it. I don't know. I know Japan is big on horoscopes, but I bet the U.S. is right up there with them. There's a lot of other countries, especially a lot of Spanish countries that are big into mythology. Horoscopes as well. Astrology, I should say. But we love our myths in the United States, and we love blind patriotism, and we love blind anything. There was a discussion in the Wiggly World of media message boards, and if you're not a member of that, please become one and contribute, because I'd love to hear from you, even if it's just in the mini chat to watch wrestling with us during the week or whatever. But there was a heated discussion, and Tiger Mask got a little hot. And, he said to the dean, who is big on the message boards, not as big as he used to be, Dean, you're doing great. Not a lot of, I don't understand this is anymore. But the point that I was trying to get at was the Tiger Mask said, well, you know, it's based on faith, and you obviously have never experienced faith, so shut the F up. And it was not in so many words, but that was really a point of it. You know, that's why people have faith. And it had to do about, I guess, little kids being indoctrinated into the religion of their parents and things like this. And it's troublesome sometimes to tell a little kid that they're going to burn in hell if they don't, you know, believe in Jesus and all this other stuff, that is just incredibly terrifying. I've mentioned stories before about how, you know, someone was a very famous speaker on atheism and whatnot was went through physical, like rape and those type of abuses, but nothing hurt her more than being a little girl and her friend died. And because she was, her friend was Jewish, she knew that her friend was going to be burning in hell for eternity. That incredibly traumatized her. You know, we love myths in the United States, and I'm sure all over the world. Who doesn't? And that's what I talked about a little bit last episode, mentioned Joseph Campbell. And I have to see if, I mean, I know he's passed for quite some time, but I have to see if there's any podcasts that deal with that. I really want to get into this guy, maybe some audiobooks or something. That'd be really great. So, you know, all cultures love mythology, but in the United States, we really cling to it. We cling to the flag. It's your patriotic duty as an American citizen. We say the Pledge of Allegiance every day as school children. We salute our flag. We go through all the motions. We're very used to this. We're very, you know, comfortable in not understanding why we do things. And I'm speaking generally as an, I mean, we are a nation here. Only 40% of all Americans believe in evolution, okay? 60% do not. That's the majority of people still think, you know, that the I say it every freaking episode, that the snowflakes are right next to the sun and shit above the clouds. So why this gap? You know, it's just, it's the American way, I guess. I think I was going for a deeper explanation here, but it now eludes me. I smell freshly cut grass wafting through the chicken coop screen door there, and I'm just constantly being reminded that I need to cut the lawn. We are also a very rebellious people, I think, in the United States. Although it's weird, we're rebellious, and yet we are about conformity. It's so odd. And of course, I mean, the media plays a huge part in this as well. I mean, you have someone that says something stupid, they're going to be on the news that night. And a whole lot of other people, or stupid people, are going to, you know, be on their porch the next day with big rally signs ready to fight the man.
It's reverse discrimination now.
Please, please. But if I said I know why, I'd be lying, because I don't know why people can't see things the way I do. Why can't people see anything the way each of us see things individually? But some things do seem like more common sense. Some things do seem more rational. Some things do seem more logical. And I don't know, you know, I don't know. It's perhaps educational system. Also, you know, the United States has a lot more people than England, that's for sure. So maybe that has to do with it. When you grow that much and you have so many different points of view. I mean, listen, it's utterly ridiculous. The people that talk about, oh, illegal immigrants are going to have everything. And I've mentioned this before. I mentioned this before when I hear people complaining about, oh, illegal immigrants taking my job. And I'm like, you're in the IT field. What are you talking about? Illegal immigrants are all of a sudden working at MIT in the computer lab? What are you talking about? What jobs are illegal immigrants taking from you? Number one, that's it. People that have no right to complain about anything complain about certain things. Number two, who the heck's hiring illegal immigrants? Other illegal immigrants that have tons of money? No. Fat cats, non-illegal immigrants. You know, big corporate owners, big fat cats looking to turn even more profit and rape more people. You know, it's not other illegal immigrants hiring other illegal immigrants. Get them out of here. You know, it's ridiculous. It is silly. These arguments, they fall apart. There's no argument. No one questions what comes out of their mouth. I try to question what comes out of my mouth. That's a great t-shirt. Question what comes out of your mouth. Ooh, I got to put that up in a Wiggly World store. Only on a Cafe Press one. Hey, Wiggly, longtime fan. But thank you very much for writing Ross. That's great. I mean, I love it. Hey, Wiggly, longtime fan from way back when on that show that I won't mention. Over here in the UK, we have a lot more open views on religion. And this show, which was on Channel 4 here, called How Do You Know God Exists, was recently on. It was good. I've included a link for you for it on YouTube. Let me know what you think. May the tentacle of the flying spaghetti monster look after you. Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Tom. I guess loads of people would have sent this. If so, I apologize. No one sent it. And, you know, I've been trying to get... I like to pull down my Channel Force episodes as one full thing that I could put on my magic XBMC. But, TikTok. But, Tom, I could not find this as a... like in any of the rapid moving water areas on the internet. But I didn't start to watch this yet because I don't like to watch episodic things on YouTube. But I will now because I've been unsuccessful in finding this. But yeah, all you do is go to YouTube and search for How Do You Know God Exists. And I love the BBC. One of my favorite BBC things was Who Wrote the Bible. I really, really, really enjoyed that that BBC business there, documentary. I don't know if that was on 4 or 5. Oh, here we go. No, I don't know. I don't know who quoted that, so I'll get that later. Steven, here's Steven. This is, of course, not Tom. Steven. You don't know me as a subject. Hi, Wiggly. I'm going to make this short and sweet. All I want to say is thank you for working hard on putting out this podcast. Please keep up the good work and take care. Oh, by the way, my name's Stevens. Steven. And I believe he's talking about the Chikara Podcast of Go-Go. And you're welcome, Steven. Thank you all my friends on Facebook that are friends through the Chikara Podcast of Go-Go. Hey, Wiggly, I just finished listening to a Wiggly World 106. This is how late I am. This is from June. You mentioned that you had a bunch of downloaders that are incognito, so I decided I finally write in, considering I've been listening for over a year now. I am on, I'm the one ISP you see from East Bumfart, I'm going to say, N-E, a.k.a. Sydney N-E, if you can even see that kind of information. I'm not sure if I could go down to the smallest parts of Nebraska or not, but I'm sure I could look into those demographics if I so chose to. However, I really don't have any ambition to do that. I'm over stats. I mean, I might as well be. They've really never done anything for me. Obviously, stats don't like me very much because they sort of keep away. If you can even see that kind of information, I initially got into a Wiggly World through Smart Wrestling Fan after you mentioned it on a one show. After one listen, I was hooked, and Wiggly World quickly became and still is my favorite podcast. I moved out here from the Buffalo, New York area, and being extremely liberal with no more ties to any religion, to be dumped into a city that is nothing but people are hardcore Republicans and very religious and don't question either was infuriating. To find a show with someone speaking of rationality and reason in relationship to mystical belief systems was a great relief. It at least gave me a few hours every couple of weeks to realize that the whole world isn't blindly following the doctrines of a religion or political idea with no question. Also, being in such an alien social environment, your show has helped me solidify ideas and questions I have since about fifth grade, 9 years in Catholic school. Wow. Writing and sending this email is actually a big step for me, since the isolation from family, ideological isolation, and my nonverbal learning disorder are all led to be developing some pretty serious bipolar symptoms I seemed content to ignore until I started developing near psychotic level delusions. And my fiance forced me to see a doctor. I've since gotten on meds, and that seemed to be helping. Considering a month or two ago, I took me an hour to build up the courage to make a phone call. Yeah, man, it's debilitating, and it doesn't have to be that way. We can all seek a we should all be content, you know. That'd be very nice. And finding that contentment is a big part of my personal journey as well. Enough about me. Your show's amazing, and I think it truly is a help for people looking for some kind of community and ideas that can lead to being ostracized by many in this country. Thank you for giving us so much entertainment and compelling topics to ponder for free. Side notes. I'm getting married on the 20th back in Buffalo. The wedding is eating up most of my... Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. And thanks for the other things that I won't read on here. He's listening to the Sharpshooters, and why wouldn't he? Has become a favorite of my friends, even though they have no idea what the reference is. Also, ow, my sandals, and shut up, hot dog, shut up, are non sequiturs I use all the time now. Thanks, man. We got to thank Rationalize. We have to thank Rationalize because he pulled those bits out of there, and or else they probably would have been lost. The ouch, my sandals, especially, and the shut up, hot dog, shut up. Who says that? Someone on LSD. And I have a recut of the previously on. I don't know if I mentioned it the last... I think I did mention it the last show. No, I didn't. Sometimes I do these in my mind. Thanks, Eric. Sometimes I do these in my mind. Sometimes I do them on a show, and it's hard for me to know. Now, did I do the show while I was in the shower, or did I do the show when I had the mic recording? Pardon me, burps as well. But so far I've done these two previously on Chikara businesses, and I absolutely hate these videos. I hate them. Now, I don't cut the video, and the person that cuts the video is a very good... I like his stuff. He does very good work. He's a great guy, great kid. He takes direction and everything else, and looks to improve himself. I think the kid is great, but these previously on gimmicks are so full of... they're so problematic. When I receive them and when I try to work with them, and of course they come sans of any type of audio in many of the places, and the aspect ratios are all jacked up. They're all kind of wacky. And, different things and how things work. And then I get a script with this that I'm to voice over. And then I add the music. Now, we did get tagged in one of these videos edited by this other fella who used licensed music. And we did get a warning from the original copyright owner. So YouTube, they can run some type of thing on there. I don't know what. But it came to pass that I had to pull a whole bunch of these interviews where unlicensed music was used. So it will happen. And I wasn't even, generating any income from it or anything. So that's why I always use PodSafe music. I always use either my original music or if other people create videos for the gimmicks, I tell them where to go. Music.podshow.com will hook you up with all the PodSafe music that you could ever want in your life. Hopefully you'll find some good stuff on there. But I get these things, and I absolutely hate it. It is arduous for me. It is a form of torture. And of course, as soon as I put this crap up, which I think just looks like a total piece of dookie, as soon as I put it up on YouTube, it gets more comments than any other thing I've ever taken my time to really produce some piece of quality and socially valuable piece of work. It gets the most positive reviews. This is the greatest thing ever. Oh, you should stop doing the podcast and just do this. Oh, this, that, and, things that take me weeks to do. I patch this poop together in, the shortest amount of time possibly I could ever do it. Cursing all the while as I'm trying to cut the... I think I saved my blooper reel from this last one. It's a riot. If you think the bloopers from Casey Kasem and Orson Welles are hilarious, it ranks right up there with them. Why? Because I know what Casey Kasem and Orson Welles said in the past, which are hilarious. And then when I go on my half worked blooper tirades, bloopers and boner tirades, I incorporate some of their gimmicks. So, you know, it's even triply funny, especially to me. But I don't know if that can ever be released. And I was so upset at this last one. I actually cut a version of the voiceovers using other sound elements from previous shows. So, but thank you, man. Thank you very much. And glad I could be here. Also, this is from Erica's. Well, hey, Wiggly, I emailed you once before around the time you asked for anonymous listeners to write in. I saw this article today and thought, and I never read it until now. This is in September. I'm only about a week behind on this one. This is great. I thought I should forward it to you since it seems right up your alley. Just a word of warning. It's positively infuriating. It details a Kentucky high school football coach who bait and switched his players with a team outing that I'm sure many players were looking forward to, but bam, surprise baptism. It sounds like most of these kids were minors and the parents were not given permission slips to fill out. If that wasn't bad enough, the superintendent was present for the entire event. Thanks, Eric. Yeah, let me look at that. Yeah, Kentucky. Oh my goodness. Look at this. This tiny, tiny little girl is in this giant horse trough. I'm not sure exactly what I'm looking at there. Getting ready to get dunked. She's holding her nose. Head coach Scott Mooney of Breckenridge County High School is in hot water after he took his team on August 26th field trip, which would include a motivational speaker and a free steak dinner. I guess the definition of motivational speaker is a loose one. Multiple parents are now angry with the coach and the school for taking the 20 players on a school-owned bus instead of the coaches, instead to the coach's church, where about half of them were then baptized. The district's school superintendent was there and apparently had no issue with this, despite, you know, multiple court rulings regarding public school and religion. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's good. That's great. Why not? Hey, you know, I got to tell you, like I said before, and I said this many times, if you really believe this stuff, this is exactly the things you would be doing. You wouldn't be just, you'd be kidnapping people off the street to baptize them. You don't want people burning in eternal hellfire forever, even though that's nowhere in the Bible. And we've spent time on that as well. But I mean, that's exactly what you'd be. You'd be going around like a maniac. But you know, it's sad. You know that this guy thinks that he's doing what's best for the kids. It says here, the church pastor, the Reverend Ron Davis, said he normally requires minors to obtain their parents' consent. Okay, so maybe this picture isn't of what was going on there, because this looks like a very young child. The pastor said they normally require minors to obtain their parents' consent to be baptized, but he added in a statement that sometimes 16-year-olds look like 18-year-olds. We did the best we could. Well, she was just 17. You know what I mean. Yeah, you're going to jail. She's 16. She's beautiful. I thought she was 18. I'm going to jail. Billy Mays here. KYW News time is 2:02. I'm dead. All right. I don't know what is compelling me to do Billy Mays recently. I have no idea. By the way, did I go too far with the last We Talk Games by starting? You don't know how much time I took debating in my mind, like a zillion times going back and forth in my mind. Should I start the next We Talk Games with one of my Billy Mays PSAs to help kids not do drugs? Okay, let's see what else we got here. But like I said, this is no surprise to me. This is something that people should be doing if they really believe this stuff. But we casually believe. The majority of people that you run into are very nice people. They're your own family in the United States. And the largest majority are people that just say, listen, I don't want to hear, I don't want to hear anything about what I'm believing is wrong. I don't want to hear anything about what it's actually the right way to do it. I don't want to hear any of this. I want to watch my television, want to watch Star Search. I think the thing I love about me the most is I don't know anything. I don't know any new television. I can't even say American Idol. I had a look at my Karaoke Revolution box over on the wall because I don't even, I still say Star Search. To me, that's still relevant. I guess you dig that guy up and then it's relevant. Yeah, wait, just got home. Whoops. It's for We Talk Games. Trivia. Wig Billy Mitchell called. This is not... Why did I think this was... Okay, here we go. Oh, let's talk a little bit about a Billy Mitchell story before I go on. So, Billy Mitchell and Walter Day, that interview was probably about an hour long. Probably 45 minutes to an hour. It took a long time. The one part in it that was supposed to happen was Billy thought it would be a good idea to... First of all, he didn't believe... Number one, he didn't believe that... If he said something that he didn't want in the show, that I would edit it out. He thought I would not edit it out. He thought I would edit things to make him look like a bad guy, like a jerk and things. The only thing that happened from editing that, I think, is that it sounds like I'm just laughing at Walter every time he takes a jab at him. And I'm not, because everything that he said, because I actually went, oh, it was uncomfortable after. And I would go, oh, you know, it's wrong. You know, hey, you're being a jerk, you know. But it, every time he says a jab, takes a jab at Walter, I sort of just like go, like I'm laughing at it. You know, I'm laughing at Walter with him. But now I'm sad. It's nervous laughter. But so he didn't believe that. And then, of course, you know, of course, I wouldn't release anything that would make paint anybody in a bad picture if they don't want to talk about it or whatever. I would not release anything. I've kept tons of secrets. Tons. And you can read about them all in my memoirs for $55.95 at the Wiggly Mini Mall. But there was a part that Billy thought it would be a good idea that this guy had been harassing him, this college kid. And he'd been, you know, a lot of expletives, really, really nasty, vicious stuff. I mean, he deals with the same type of internet ball sniffers that I deal with, except on a much grander level, of course. But this one kid had been calling and calling and calling, so he thought it would be a good, funny idea if I called him and got him on the line when I'm on the line interviewing him and to tell him, you know, because this kid challenged him. You know, he's like I said, like probably like a college kid. So during the interview, and that's why I had to sort of come up with other questions, like, oh, tell me about a road trip and stuff like that. And he actually went on about a lot of other things about Walter. Walter is famous, I guess, for losing his luggage. And maybe I'll bring that in on a future Wiggly World or something. Jesus, I got hit with the burps. A future episode of Week Talk Games. I don't know, but it just wasn't enough about games to keep it in. But evidently, Walter loses his luggage constantly. And even when he drives himself, somehow his luggage gets lost. And that is a pretty funny story. But I tried to call this kid two or three times during the interview to get him on the line. And of course, it just goes boop, boop, boop. It goes right to voicemail. I left several voicemails. So I don't know. The kid was probably doing his Domino's pizza runs or something and didn't want to get on. But I haven't heard from him again and haven't heard from any. I told him, you know, call back and we'll... Billy said, you know, do it. Tell him to call back. And whatever time it is, just call me up and we'll do it. And that is a terrible Billy Mitchell imitation, by the way. I didn't even realize I was trying to imitate him. But that's not the good part of the story. He said, Billy, because I couldn't get a hold of him, and had left a voicemail. He says, well, why don't you access his messages? I know what his code is. You just punch it in there. What? I don't think that's illegal. Billy Mitchell trying to get me in trouble with the FBI, hacking people's answer machines. How the... You bum, you! I love you, though. I love you. He's a nice guy. He's a great guy. You know what? If you were the best in Pac-Man, and you can be like that, too. But he, you know, he is himself, I think. I think he's great. Great, great kid. Good kid. Stick with me, kid! All right. That's a little behind the scenes. There's other things. If I could remember. Ringtone said, Gigi, hey, yeah, you're more than awesome. I think it's really awesome that I have those songs as ringtones. If you don't know, you do know because you listen to the show, but I put up a lot of Chikara themes and things like that as ringtones. I love both those themes, a lot of the Chikara ones. Wish I could donate more, but I know you understand. Don't short yourself, though. I think those ringtones are an awesome way to promote yourself as well as Chikara because I know people are going to ask me about it. Looking forward to hearing you in the ear holes again soon, Gigi.
You're welcome, man. You're welcome.
Yeah, you just go to wigglesworld.com. Listen, wigglesworld.com, I take a lot of time to make this portal interesting and a direct conduit to every single freaking thing I'm involved with. And you can look down on there. I have some of my ringtones available for purchase right through there, including the one that no one has purchased but yet was the most requested one, which is a rubber. No one has bought this yet. And I have other, you know, songs on there that I've created. Hey there, Wiggly. I have been off the grid and the web for a while, and I have come to see that what I enjoyed about SWF was Wiggly and his insights, even when they are not in line with my own. Oh, well, not interested in the I Am a Cat, Big Bird, Hi Amy show, but I am interested, and I'm sorry I read that, but I didn't read this before, but I am interested in someone speaking boldly and going out of their way to self-educate. I have great respect for the likes of Penn and Teller and the Mythbusters. And see a little bit of that spirit and fun and critical thought in Wiggly World. I went through an episode of clinical depression and agoraphobia. This is what we all have happened, which of course caused me to lose all those things most people strive for: car, job, apartment, friendship, etc. Pushed me to the edge of suicide, but thanks to a lot of support I was not aware I had, I was able to get help. And see, that's the thing. You think that no one's out there, and let's say that you go through with it, you don't have anything to worry about, you don't feel anything anymore, but all those people that you didn't know were out there that really did care, they have to live on with that. That's who you hurt. And that's not to prevent anything, but it's just that's just the reality. I was able to get help. Yeah, hey, look, if you ever feel real bad, like hurting yourself or someone else, just call 911. You don't have to do anything else. You just do that, and everybody else, and then you like just, it's like when you fall back and someone catches you. That's what 911 does. You just fall back, and then you just let other people that are there, they will take care of you. They will help you. If you don't like have someone regular to run to. Fortunately, when I went through my depression, I did have health care through my job, which now I do not. I do not have meds. I do not have a lot of the other things that I really need. I really need. It's not easy doing the things I'm doing now. It's not as easy as it once was when I did have help and health care. I guess I could afford it now if that's all I want to do. If I don't want any quality of life, if I don't want to ever be able to enjoy it, I already spend more than I should on leisurely things, and believe me, it's not a lot. I'm incredibly conservative, but I mean, sometimes you need to. I need to, you know, to be a human being, to freaking be a part of life and enjoy the things that I am passionate about, the things that I care about, the good things. Now, I know that if you looked around my house, you'd think you just see all this junk. And that's what most of it is. It is old junk that I either got for free or for, you know, 50 cents at a garage sale. It's other people's garages, other things people throw away. And I'd love to get rid of it, but I just, you know, can't find a landfill to put it all in. Anyway. The experiences of individuals that were good enough to share them, including yourself, were very important in me taking that extra time to avoid a rash choice. It is indeed a rash choice. Things have started to level off. Thankfully, I've begun living with my partner. She is a magnum cum laude graduate of a seven sister school and has a very interesting perspective, having grown up as a Jewish woman that attended a liberal arts college. As I am self-educated, reading books like An Underground Education, The People's History of America, as well as many of the books published by Disinformation Press, as well as having grown up as a cop's son and a veteran of the U.S. Armed Forces, we have very different life experiences. This leads to some very compelling and spirited debates about most moral, social, and political views. Glad to see the podcast is going so well. This is from Tiger Mask, everybody. Okay, so don't see Tiger Mask as the adversary. If you do, if you don't, whatever. Thanks, Tiger Mask. It takes a lot to do that. That's for sure. Oh, M. Dunner, Matthew, you did not send me the Jesus GIF I requested, but he did send me a Jesus GIF that I had requested, a bleeding, animated, blood dripping Jesus GIF, crown of thorns, and you win a Nobel Prize. But he wins a Nobel Prize for this, and I don't think I could use it for album art or anything else because it's an animated GIF. But it is a Jesus GIF. You know what I'll do? I'll put it in the show note links. It is Jesus, and his cross turns into a transformer rocket jet. Sends him up to heaven. Hey, that's more believable than going up on a cloud, that's for sure. Water vapor. I don't understand what it is. You can stand on it. Found this. Mutant Larry, pestering me on Xbox 360. Another reason I sat down to do this show today. Mr. Mutant Larry, Xbox 360, messaged to me. Need Wiggly World. It was even spelled wrong. It was great. Found this. Mark Twain said, it ain't the parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bother me. It is the parts that I do understand. And you have to read that in obligatory. Although we probably don't have no idea how Mark Twain spoke. Although he wasn't around at the time that we had some primitive audio recordings technology. He was at the turn of the century, right? Because he was buddies with Tesla. If you don't know what I'm doing now, I'm Googling this. Born in 1835, died 1910. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So he made the cutoff, but I don't know if we have any voice recordings of him. He's a great read. Yes, he was definitely an atheist or, you know, something along those lines. And like that there. And he had a great deal of he spoke out against slavery, although, you know, you probably wouldn't get that out of his works. But there's a great documentary on him as well that National Geographic did, or the History Channel, or one of those channels. I recommend checking that out. He's a pretty cool guy, pretty cool dude, man, pretty cool dude. He's a cool dude. When he was given an honorary doctorate, you know, to a college later in his life, complete with the cap and gown and everything. And he wore his cap and gown to his daughter's wedding, much to her chagrin. Now, I don't know who sent these in, and I don't, this is it. I don't have any more letters here. I know a lot of these, some of these were sent in by, of course, they were all sent in by listeners, but some were sent in by Kyle Von Kubik, and other things were posts on my Facebook and stuff like that. Historic Bible pages put online. About 800 pages of the earliest surviving Christian Bible have been recovered and put on the internet. Visitors should website Codex Sinaitis. Codex Sinaiticus. I can't figure out the rest of it. Codex, Codex, Sinai, Sinai. Ticus, TICUS.org. You can see images of more than half the 1,600-year-old codex. Oh, Sinaiticus manuscript. That's why it's called that. Fragments of the 4th-century document written in the Greek on parchment leaves have been worked on by institutions in the UK, Germany, Egypt, and Russia. Experts say it is a window into the development of early Christianity. Yeah, great. And, you know, it is in the Greek. And that's other things. You know, people, like I mentioned this many, many, many times before, people of religious persuasions, especially most specifically Christians, would look at someone that would have written this Bible. And if you're talking about Old Testament, then you're talking about, you know, someone that lived in the desert, wore traditional garb at that time, which some sort of dress, male dress type of thing, probably very unkept, and I mean, they're very clean and everything, but I mean, long beard, and would look like someone that an uneducated person would think is some type of Middle Eastern terrorist type of person looking to do racial profiling type of thing. And I mean, they wouldn't even let him in their house. They'd call the cops if they saw this person on the lawn. Hey, I'm Moses. What are you doing? You know, same goes for the New Testament. This was a Greek document. Greece, my friends. Greece, okay? I'm sure that you know a lot of Greek people, and if you go into their businesses or whatever, I mean, Greeks don't have to own businesses, but you may know people that own businesses and things like that. And you have to realize, you have to put that into, these are the people that wrote this stuff, and nothing wrong with that. It's just that, you know, I'm sure that most people think, you know, they just think of this picture of Jesus, and they think this very well-mannered, kind-looking, gentle soul, this Gentile soul, you know, wrote these things in his memoirs, you know. And it's not the case. You have to go back to that time. You have to take a look at what was going on. What did these people really look like? What environment did they live in? You would never be saying it's socialist business if you read the New Testament. The disciples are living a socialist commune, you know. They're traveling the countryside, and they're being supported by the community. Anything that gets donated by the wealthier old women of the towns that they would go to, everything that gets donated gets shared among the flock. At least that's in the stories that are being written. Now, the people that actually wrote it probably weren't doing those types of things, but the story, that the narrative that is being told here, is a social commune. It is a Charles Manson family type of thing, you know, except reverse, I guess, because in the end, it's Manson that gets it. That's my message to Charles Manson, by the way. Creation film sparks evolution argument. This is the one that made me go off my loony rocker. A film about the life of Charles Darwin, which will open the Toronto Film Festival tomorrow, has sparked fresh debate on the theory of evolution. On online film forums and Christian newspapers, comments about the film have evolved into... That's a good choice of word. No pun intended, none taken. Into debates about Darwin's theories. Creation is virtually certain to provoke massive controversy when it is released, reads one comment on this one news org. Opened a service to provide official resource for churches and community groups who are using the film for educational purposes. But I hear that the thing that upset me about this is that evidently it's been picked up. This film has been picked up all around the globe by different different movie houses. But as of September 9th, no American movie house wanted to touch it because it's too controversial. A film about someone that had an idea. Okay, this is insanity. This is absurdity. And I'm not as impassioned as I was on September 9th, so I will stop that there. But that's what we're dealing with here. Okay, so when you write in from the UK, they're worried about releasing a film about someone that had an idea and then actually did footwork to try to look into and further his hypothesis, you know? It just blows my mind. It blows my mind. We have movies about serial killers, you know? We have comedies about serial killers and stuff like that. And we have these terrible movies, you know, Out in the Cold or whatever it's called, Frostbite Days, or, you know, these mindless coming-of-age teen movies. And all the Animal House type of movies. So, but the first one's great, but I mean, the other ones that are like it are you know what I mean? That genre. We have these. They have no problem getting backers because I guess they think they sell. But this, oh, this is too controversial. Someone that had an idea that other people, you know, that were, and he was in the minority. You know, and that's the other thing. I mean, Darwin borrowed from other people's already other people's ideas. You know, these ideas were already there. He expanded on them. He showed how it worked and he showed where it applied. And I'm not intelligent enough to go into that right now. Band shirt hit wrong note with parents is what I alluded to earlier. Smith Cotton. T-shirts worn by the Smith Cotton High School band have evolved again. Oh, these news reporters are so punny. This high school band have evolved into controversy among parents. The shirts, which were designed to promote the band's fall program, are light gray and feature an image. I love how they mention the t-shirt style. You know, it's light gray, just so you know. And then it has a brown and yellow imprinting on it. It's a three-color shirt. Now they don't go light gray and features an image of a monkey progressing through stages of event and eventually emerging as a man. Each figure holds a brass instrument. Several instruments decorate the background and the word Smith Cotton High School Tiger Pride Marching Band and Brass Evolutions 2009 are emblazoned above and below the image. So yeah, if you're going to call your season Brass Evolutions 2009, you wouldn't want to show anything relating to evolution on a shirt. And not only that, but I mean, now we know we're more sophisticated than the 1970s Time magazine covers and Time Life book series to know that that's not exactly how it happened from a monkey to a human. We know that, you know, we are distant cousins of monkeys and apes and things like this, other simians and whatnot. But we evolved on different timelines. But this is a very famous picture, you know? This is ridiculous. I was disappointed with the image on the shirt, Melby said. I don't think the evolution should be associated with our school. You know, I really don't say retard, you know? But damn, if I don't, if that's not what, I mean, what else is someone? They are mentally retarded to think this way. And I mean, they choose to be that way. And then who prints this stuff? Voluntarily mentally retarded. There we go. That's all I could think about for that. And now I thought I'd end on a very high-ny note. Well, before I do that, actually, you know, you might say, well, Wiggly, what if they called it musical creation and then they showed God creating the earth and stuff like that? Well, would I have a problem with that? Listen, I drew a lot of fantasy-based images when I was in high school. And There's tons of creation stories. So, I mean, where are we going to date this from? But it doesn't even need to get all that far. I mean, it's very clear. You know, creation is not real, number one. And maybe it's real to somebody, and that's where... Oh, you know what? That's what I never got into, the whole faith thing. The whole faith thing. That's a very, very important part. And I skipped over that. Tiger Mask brought up the faith thing. Let me just write down faith, and then I will get back to that, because I have a lot to speak on about that. Not a lot, but a little bit. I had the answer to this. I had the answer to this this creation T-shirt thing business, and now I can't remember. It was a very simple answer, but basically, I mean, I wouldn't really have too much trouble with it. People do, you know, we're brass wizards, and then they show a guy with a hat with stars and a moon on it. You know, it's very clear, though, that you're not supposed to mix religion with school, because school is a government institution, and there's, you know, it's up to each school, really, and it's up to judges and other things that we have in place to weigh these gray areas. I mean, there are gray areas, but there's no gray area about evolution. It's real. It happens. You know, this is an observable phenomenon. We would not have diseases and bacteria and other things like we have now if it wasn't for if these things did not evolve. Okay? And I do not see these images as a tribute to science in showing that we are, you know, from descended from monkeys. I see this as a play off of the word evolution, and then a play off of the very famous silhouette of people coming, you know, we've even seen this now, back regress to coming out as a fish and then crawling around in other different types of little animals and then monkeys and then humans and, you know, Cro-Magnon and all that all the way up. So this is a famous image. This would be like, you know, putting a band hat on the Mona Lisa. This would be like hanging a big bass drum over an image of the Statue of David. So I do not see this as, holy crap, I almost pooped myself. I saw that I was only at 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and I hit the pause, and I paused. I was like, what's going on with this ticking time here? It says that must mean 2 hours, right? And then I realized I had my thing set to split on the 1 hour. I almost just pooped. So that's really my answer to that. You know, I really wouldn't have a problem. Everything is, you know. Yes. And I like I said, I had the perfect answer for it, and it totally escaped me. It was gone like an electrical impulse gone. We talk game stuff. Faith. Okay, yes, faith. So, back to faith. So, Tiger Mask said, well, you know, you don't have faith, and these people have faith. When I say that creation, you can't prove creation. Well, people have faith. That is what happened. They have faith that there was creation. They have faith in God, that God exists. There's zero proof of God anywhere that you can do some type of experiment and prove that it happened. Or, not even that, but that you can have two people, you know, report the same observable event. And think there, not everything in science is completely testable, recreatable in a lab, that type of way. It is testable in other, I shouldn't say testable, I meant an experiment that you could set up and to prove it, to falsify it, do not falsify it. But there are other types of events that occur in the world that you can scientifically observe, that you can observe in different ways, that we can see the effects of something. This is very common in astronomy, where we can see the effects of distant planets, and we know that certain things are happening because of how the light gets bent and the shape of objects, the color of objects, and things like this. We can see the effects that one unobservable thing has on another. But we can't see that when it comes to the idea of creation. We can't see that when it comes to the concept of, you know, the earth being underwater in the Bible. So this is where completely underwater, you know, plants and everything else during the flood and all these other stories that come out of the Bible. Although, you know, people will try to scientifically prove, oh, you can fit this many people, this many animals on a boat, and in 4,000 years is plenty of time for millions of species to come out of these few people that we fit on a boat. So what they do is very common, say, well, they have faith. But let's examine faith. Faith is not just the only time I use faith really is when I'm talking about blind faith, because anything else is confidence. Anything else is being sure of something, being confident in something, certain, assured, that type of thing. I don't really consider faith to be anything except blind, because when you say that people believe in God because they have faith, you're not just saying that people just go out and They don't, I mean, they have to believe in something more than faith. They have to believe in God because of something more than faith, whether it be a personal experience or whatever. There has to be a reason that someone believes in God. They can't just say, oh, I just believe in that because of faith. Now, there's other things that are going on. There's other things that they observe. Maybe they look at the world and they say, how could all this have been, you know, arguments from complexity, arguments from different types. There has to be something that their faith is based on. It's not usually just blind faith. They have faith because they feel like God helped them with this or that or the other. They feel, you know, arguments from personal experience. They feel like this. They've seen something, so it's observable. So people don't just, you can't just say, oh, you just don't have faith. There has to be some reason for that faith. It's not usually just blind faith. So I think it's a terrible argument to just say, oh, you just have to have faith. Because at some point, you have to put that faith in check. Where do you draw the line on what you think is convincing enough to justify that faith? And that's really all I wanted to do. Look into that. I don't have the answers, but I just think that a faith-based argument is a non-argument. Faith is a term. I guess I should dictionary faith, right? Oh, she's a country singer. Okay. Faith. Complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Strong belief in God or in doctrines of religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. Aha! Okay. Apprehension. Anxiety or fear that something bad or unpleasant will happen. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I think we need to clarify when we say the word faith as to how that faith comes about. Is it faith because you're afraid that you're going to burn in eternal hellfire that's spurring this faith, which is a horrible faith in a horrible God? Or is it faith based on personal experience and feelings and sensations and things like that? I just think the word, I'm certainly not trying to go against Tiger Mask or anything like that. I wanted to further explore that, and I never got to do it on the message board. So now I'm doing it now when it came to my mind. And speaking of a giant waste of time in the Wiggly World podcast, I have wasted, it has taken me 127.2 hours, not including today's show, worth of Wiggly Worlds, when it could have been done by a sexy blonde from Romania in a 8-minute YouTube video. Please check out Zomgits Chris, Zomgitscriss, on YouTube. Zomgits Chris. She is from Romania, and she does these little clips that explore rational belief. She uses reason, she tackles the hard arguments, and she throws around quite a nice vocabulary. She has a great vocabulary, a lot better to look at than me, I love her accent. I mean, that's not her fault, but sometimes she plays into that accent. It's very cute, and they're very clever little videos, and well done. And I have Tiger Mask again to thank for that. He posted a link to her in the Wiggly World of Media message board, so I encourage everyone to go and be a part of that. And, you know, there's a video on Zomgits where she is pleading to help an ex-Muslim, and something that we do not realize. And, of course, you know, in the States, we see children raised to believe in their doctrines. But in Muslim countries, strong Muslim countries, this is not just something that people are indoctrinated with. They, of course, will be killed if they do an apostasy, if they want to leave the religion. It is considered blasphemy, and they will be murdered. So this religion is forced upon people. And if you are a Christian in the United States, you are probably not a Muslim. That's probably safe to say, although if you might be hedging your bets, who knows? You know, Sammy Davis Jr. or whatever. But this is still going on in our world today. In the year 2009, we are still killing people and exorcising them and berating them and threatening them if they do not believe in stuff that is as good as imaginary. It is not only as good as imaginary, it has the same substance as that which does not exist. It has the same substance as imagination. It has the same substance as a thought. Nothing. It is nothing. In fact, I can show an example of a thought. I can measure a thought with an EEG or EKG or whatever. I can do this. I can show when a thought happened. Hey, there's the trails of a thought. I cannot show the trails of any of this this hocus pocus mumbo jumbo. So it's even less than that. It's even less than a thought. It's even less than a ghost. It's even less than a vapor. And by ghost, I mean something that does not exist. And one of my, I just remembered the one Cafe Pressure. I do not surrender. I do not surrender. This is a direct, reaction to even the word Islam. This is a direct reaction to early Bible talk. I do not surrender. So I hope that you don't surrender, my friends, either. And I apply that to a much, much bigger plate than even what religion is or could ever be. Thank you for joining me for Wiggly World. I have to cut the grass, in case you hadn't heard. I'm going to leave you with Michael Tedesco. I love this song. I love Michael Tedesco, number one. He was Mystic T in the group Trapdoor, which is close to my heart. And this is, of course, off Wiggly of Trapdoor, Inorganic Mumbiance, Michael Tedesco. I'm Wiggly, a Wiggly World. We'll be right back.